No, like, you're well estrogenized. You are.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you calling me dramatic?
No, no.
That's what I consider estrogen.
Just a proper representative of the female perspective.
Yeah. I know. I can't wait. Some of these callers make me feel normal.
And you're a Steve-O fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks, babe.
I don't know what you think having him and I in the room together. This could be trouble.
Trouble or trouble.
I think it's full disclosure tonight.
Right. Oh, really?
All right. All right, let's go.
We got to put you on mic, though, Ben. Okay. Nicole and I are used to having our mouths over these things, so we sound a lot louder than you.
Okay.
There we go.
Let's start off just talking about what my day is going
to
be like.
Yeah, that's
tomorrow.
What I wanted to talk about. Now, see, here's the deal. Steve-O comes on the show, and we have a great time. He's excited, so he'll send, like, MP3s of it to his family, and they write back these horrible emails busting his chops about how awful he is on the air. And then it devolves from there into Steve. We're really worried about your health. That's where it goes every time.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with your esophagus. You're going to begin.
I had brought up that I had concerns from all my vomiting and my smoking and my lifestyle. We see my voice has just gone downhill, just getting hoarser and hoarser.
Yeah, but that's your larynx. That's not your.
Oh yeah. All right. Well,
shows
how much I know.
Transfer to Barrett's esophagus to endocarcinoma of the esophageal surface, and then
I don't even know what the language is. What you just said, but also the lifestyle. I mean, and mine's is not like Steve-O's, but kind of similar in some ways.
She parties.
Yeah. It has something to do with it.
You guys ever party together?
God, no, but we should.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we should. We almost.
I have to fast tonight because my day tomorrow.
No. Yeah. It's a school night.
Yeah.
No, he's got to have this big physical. This is the whole point of the story.
Oh.
I finally got emails from the family very where I said, look, Steve-O, go here, get the complete workup.
Yeah, and then Dr. Drew is the Well, what do you mean? Like, for advice, they sought your advice. My dad said, well, you know, son, I know that you're great friends with Drew, and I'm sure that he can probably refer you to the. So Drew comes up with, writes us this email. He says, UCLA has got a great medical program, and, so we just decided to get me checked out from top to bottom.
So here's what he's having. He can't drink or eat anything right now. He's having a coronary CT scan, which is a new procedure. These are excellent. You actually look down the barrel of your coronary arteries. We'll see how clean those are. PET scan, total body PET CT scan, comprehensive H&P, bone densitometry, carotid Doppler study, upper endoscopy, endoscopic gastroesophageal duodenoscopy. Nice.
Yeah, understand that all these procedures, and I almost want you to. What's the scariest one? Do you think
the gastroscopy? The because you're well, you'll like it because you're asleep.
I love it.
Keep you awake. I've done it once awake.
Oh yeah. I'll see what happens. Maybe I'll look at the footage. You know, because I'm trying to film everything tomorrow.
Oh really?
Yeah. And now like this is not a regular checkup by any means.
This is a comprehensive.
It's executive physical is comprehensive, and then it says extra procedures added. So by the end of the day, this is going to cost me $5,000 to find out, if there's anything wrong with me, I'm going to know about it, huh? And there could be so much wrong with me. But then on the other hand, I think there's a really good argument for, keeping your immune system on its toes. And I'm always healing. I'm always healing from something. So
I'm so going to steal that from him and use it. That's what I'll tell my parents. I'm keeping my immune system on its toes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so now tomorrow's I have a friend flying in at midnight.
Oh, he's going to take you or she?
No. I'm getting picked up at 7:15 in the morning tomorrow to do that. But tomorrow at midnight.
You want to party?
I might have to party. Am I going to be in, bad shape to party?
No,
I'll be fine.
Be fine.
Okay.
Now, what do you think they're going to find?
Oh, I don't know. I'm glad that you asked that. Because, in my cocaine career, right? I mean, you're always rolling up a bill and sort of...
By the way, you have to promise me you're going to be completely honest with those guys.
They can't. Yeah.
It's your record. It's confidential.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then, but they can't really assess you unless they know exactly...
Is he one to hold back usually, though?
Not at all. But I think that my biggest concern would be... that from rolling up these dollar bills and snorting all this cocaine, that's the number one way to get hepatitis C. Right.
No.
I remember I researched on the internet. I swore off snorting cocaine.
I thought you were going to say you were carpal tunnel from doing all the rolling or something.
Number one way is needle.
Well, okay. You know what? Okay, you're right. That's what all the internet stuff said. They're other than...
There's concern about other ways.
There's needles and all that, but it's standard sexual intercourse... Probably not.
It's hard to get it that way, but if you're a receptive partner, anal intercourse.
I think you know what it said. I think it might have said, am I ever... I think it might have said that 20% of everyone... But it's just an up there.
You don't have hep C. Don't worry. You don't got it.
They're going to tell me if I do, right?
If your liver enzymes are up, it's because of the alcohol.
I have a drug question.
Yeah.
So if you spend your life doing enough drugs and partying hard enough,
If
one does, not you.
Not you. Not you, of course.
No, I didn't say not me.
I didn't say
Does it... Let's say you stop. Does it always stay with you? Are we, like, permanently warped for
I think the way I would answer that is you want to watch out for the crystal meth, because that's going to give you actual brain damage.
Yes, meth.
I've never touched any
meth
of that
crazy brain
stuff.
Damage. Ecstasy gives you brain damage. All the hallucinogenics. Inhalants, hallucinogenics. Yeah. And by brain damage,
we're talking, like, when does it come to surface? And
meth is the worst. And I think the nature of the brain damage that you get from crystal meth is going to be the worst.
Mostly what you see is...
at least you don't have any brain damage.
Memory problems initially, and then mood disturbances and panic that follow. Those are the common kinds of symptoms people get. But memory is the most common thing people are troubled by initially.
Wow, and we still do drugs. We're a bunch of jackasses.
Yeah. Speaking of jackasses, let's take a quick call here. Karen, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Steve, Dr. Drew?
Hey, Aaron.
I can't hear anything.
Our levels for what's coming towards us is very, very low. We're loud, and the incoming stuff is very low. It's got to be Lance. Anderson's outside. Lance is in the studio.
I want to hear people scream for me.
It's got to be Lance's fault. So what's up, Aaron?
Hey, Steve-o. First of all, I'm a member of your message board.
Yeah, right on, dude. Hell yeah.
I think it's really great. I enjoy reading your posts up, man.
Hey, thanks, bro. You know, I was thinking that how did I already talk this much without plugging my website? this is a member of my. I always talk about my message board on the internet. It's this really awesome exclusive community, you know, where people have to apply to become a member. And we've got one of my people here, one of the members of the Steve-O Army.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. It's rad. Right. On MySpace, I've got 65,000 friends.
I've seen your MySpace. And Steve-O has an army. Isn't that doesn't that keep you on your toes, Dr. Drew?
Steve-O's got an army.
Yeah, and the thing is, all these, people, you think on MySpace, I'm not going to write back. But, I'll write stuff, and, it goes to every single one of these people.
Nice.
So, if you guys want to be, up to date with what's going on with me and, go to steveovideo.com and check out my Steve-O Army MySpace. All right, dude, sorry about that, bro. What's the question?
No problem. I want to know when the third season of Wild Boys is coming out on DVD.
Three and four are coming out together, and I think they're holding off waiting for Jackass 2 to be released so that more people have kind of interest in it, I guess. I don't know.
Aaron, you're in Hawaii. Where are you?
I'm Honolulu,
right next to me. Chris Pontius just bought a house out there. He could very well be down the road from you right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's married and much better now.
All right, Aaron, take care, buddy.
Okay.
All right, see you now. This now is Amber. What's happening, Amber? You're on with Nicole and Steve-O.
Hi, Dr. Steve-O.
Hey.
I don't get a hi.
What?
That's okay. Nothing. Keep going. That'll take things personally.
This one another. Go ahead.
So I get orgasms when I sleep when I'm dreaming or whatever, because I dream about sex stuff.
Good time.
Sweet.
Sometimes.
Why aren't you sleeping right now? Sorry.
So I was wondering if that's normal or is there something wrong with that?
No, it's very good. No, that's good. Are you sexually active?
Yes.
And you still have those dreams?
Yes.
Interesting.
So they're good dreams and we're having orgasms?
What?
They're good dreams and they're giving us orgasms?
Yeah.
Rad.
Why is it interesting if she has a good sex life that she's having them? Can't you have both?
You can have both, and it makes me think of two things. One is that typically people start having sexual dreams if sort of things build up. At least that's the way guys are, especially.
Well, okay, I usually get them if I haven't seen my boyfriend for a long time.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Because she's slightly deprived of it.
So then, when I get those dreams, I'm like, okay, I guess I need to have sex now because I'm really horny.
It's all good, Amber. It's all fine. Why would you feel bad about that?
Well, I don't feel bad about it. I think it's weird.
No, actually, congratulations.
Why is it weird? It happens to guys.
Okay, well, I don't know.
guys talk about it more than girls do.
Girls don't have it as reliably. I mean, men will have.
We get shafted.
It's true. But guys' thing is, if they don't take the fluid out themselves, God takes it out for them during the night.
Yeah, you know, I'd settle for nightmares as long as they made me have orgasms.
But Amber, I'm just curious why you feel sort of guilty and ashamed of it.
I don't know what, sometimes weird ones where it's not like I'm dreaming about my boyfriend but it's just guy, even like I don't know their faces or something, it's just their body, or it's somebody I know, and it's like more of a friend type sometimes.
It's okay.
It's the best of both worlds.
It's all good. You relax, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Your relationship is good with your boyfriend?
It's all right.
All right. Maybe you need a new boyfriend. Maybe that's the whole problem here.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter who I've been with. It's always.
You know, it's funny. You say about how, like, you know, if you let it all build up, God will evacuate it for you. That never happened to me once, man. I figured.
You've never had a what's
it? Well, it's because I've been evacuating myself.
Yeah,
but
he's been on top of it.
I've been,
on top of his stuff.
Since before. Since way before any goo came out, you know what I mean? That was like when I was about to turn 14 years old the first time actual goo came out.
Yeah, but so you were already working on the pipe.
Oh, yeah.
And you,
oh, yeah.
You did not look back when something came out.
At first I was like, yeah, rad, you know, because I thought, like, that meant I was, like...
A man.
Yeah, you know, a man, yeah. But then I was... But shortly thereafter, I thought, man, this kind of blows.
Why? Keeps coming?
Because it's messy. You know, like...
Could you have orgasms before...
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Could. Wow.
Yeah, shoot. I mean, and I didn't even know what masturbating was. Like, I just figured out crawling underneath the we had a pool, you know, and, like, you come in, like, sort of, like, the pool bathroom, you know, like, and it sort of has like a little foot faucet, you know, to stick your feet under, and I'd crawl right under that thing happier than a clam.
Can I ask him a question about the goo? Not a question about the goo, but did you figure it out yourself? Did you watch it on TV?
I just,
it just rose and wham, you knew what to do?
I felt like I was the only guy discovering this. Like, that I was somehow
did you pass
special.
It on to friends?
Well, no, I think I tried to think, like, I told, like, maybe a friend or two, and they laughed at me, and so then I was just, like, embarrassed, and I just kept, like...
No, and then years later, they probably called back and were like, thank you. Dude.
Yeah, it was kind of a while later I figured out that you could do it with your hand, you know?
You didn't need the foot washer?
The even foot jet? I think that after I figured out...
How did you slip under that?
Because it came out pretty, like, you know, I was just a little guy, you know? But it came out far enough that I was really able to position myself perfectly.
Oh, how are your parents must have been mortified they found you straddling the foot shower.
Yeah, but, you know, after I figured out the hand, I think I still went back to that.
To the shower.
Yeah.
Your first love.
I know. You can't do it in a bathtub. I would try that. It just won't work.
Isabel.
I still want to meet your parents so bad.
What's up, Isabel?
What's up?
You know, Steve-O, Nicole.
What's up, Isabel?
Yeah.
All right. Question. Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
And basically, being 21, I'm like, I'm really comfortable with myself, like with my body and whatnot. But my question is, what do you guys have to say about the idea of being breastplant?
Oh, man.
Breast implants.
No, I'll tell you how this works, babe. The only thing you're really going to get out of fake boobs is, like, whistles from construction workers, you know? Like,
right.
Because when a guy grabs a boob and, like half of it's, you know, there's, like, the fake part and the real part. It's a total drag, you know? I mean, they're kind of cool to look at, I guess. But in my opinion, I think that a woman, I mean, confidence is the most attractive trait in a human being.
Well, right? What do you got going here?
I'm tall, so I used to be a little chunky back then.
But what's your bra size?
36 feet. But
that's what most
sound. Yeah,
well,
those
that's
are,
what most women are trying to get to, or up to, or yeah. down to. When women get reductions,
yeah.
that's what they go to,
and
they get a larger.
You know, and it's less important to me what your boobs, you know, size really is. I just think that it's insecurity that makes women get, you know...
No matter what size, Steve will masturbate for
no,
you.
No. And Isabel, didn't you say that you feel you're very confident and comfortable with yourself?
Yeah.
So why even entertain the idea of fake boobs? And you don't
yeah,
want them big enough
yeah,
that you can flip
me,
them over your shoulder.
I think it takes insecurity to get fake boobs. And I think, like, regardless, of, you know, confidence is more attractive than fake boobs any day of the week.
Honestly.
And I'll masturbate for you no matter what. Like, even if you have fake boobs, who cares?
Nice. No, I'm always really confident with myself, but it's like, I've been hearing from girls, like, I want to get bigger boobs. I was like, dude, you guys are so stupid. Why do you want bigger boobs? I was happy with myself, but I have lost weight.
Yeah, you know, other
girls planted the seed of doubt in her.
You're fine, Isabel, please. Come on.
Yeah, totally. And just, you know, the way that you describe having been turned off when the other girls were talking about it, it's almost like kind of the same. So you shouldn't bring it up anymore and just be stoked on who you are.
Sandra.
Yes.
What's happening?
Robbie's series on the
Robbie?
Yeah.
Hey, Robbie, what's happening?
I wanted to ask you last week.
Excellent. What's up?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Robbie, or not Robbie, Steve-O a question.
Sure.
Why do you puke on every Jackass show?
Hey, let me take this. If an elephant just crapped on your head, you'd vomit too. In fact, I almost vomited watching that. Did you see that?
I've seen some other ones.
I've seen some. You'll eat something or something and just always puke. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I chalk it up to having more extraordinarily powerful imagination.
And by the way, Sonny, that's why he's having a huge medical evaluation. His dad saw one cute puke episode too many and is sending him in for an endoscopy tomorrow. So, you know, it's funny you should bring that up.
Steve, have your parents seen all the Jackasses?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really? Is there one in particular that disturbed them the most that they were like, okay, that's it, I can't take it anymore?
Yeah, that would have been my career ender video.
Which one was that?
It was a bonus video. I put out my first video, really, the Steve-O video. And I did it, like, the direct response to that, the commercials every night. And, you know, order now with your credit card and we'll include this second bonus video.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, you know, we advertised it as so filthy that industry professionals have sworn its release will end Steve-O's career.
What was it?
It was called The Career Ender. It was the first one with the butterfly where I staple gunned my scrotum and broke my legs.
Yeah.
I was drinking beer out of a dude's ass crack.
A what?
I was drinking beer out of this NHL player's ass. It was called Butt Crack Beer. And there was just a lot of... They're like, oh, yeah, you know what bothered my dad the most?
Oh, that didn't bother him?
The NHL player or the scrotum part?
What it was was... There was this guy, and he was the production coordinator for Jackass, and when it was a TV show. I went into his office. I locked myself in there. I said, now here I am in Scott Potasnik's office, and now I'm going to masturbate on his phone and on his keyboard. So I ejaculated all over his keyboard and his phone. I thought it was really funny. Then I interviewed him later, and it really was probably, I think, the funniest thing I ever put out.
What did he
think? My dad wasn't even going to, watch it unless... He said, maybe I'll watch it if you sell 50,000 copies of the video. And I had sold, I think, like 150,000. And when I get the call from my dad. Says, you know, I finally got around to watching that Career Ender, you know. I have to say, I'm more than disappointed.
Did he use the personally offended line?
That was how he referred to the penis tattoo on my arm. But, he said more than disappointed that time. And I said, Dad, you know, I called him out for how many units I'd sold, you know, and I just reinforced our deal. I said, you know, you leave the creative genius to me and, you know, you just stay on the numbers, Dad. Yeah.
What did your buddy Scott say about the spewed, the stuff on the keyboard?
It was funny. We'd have to be very careful to keep it away from your kids, Doctor. Uh-huh.
Do you score more chicks that way? Like, are girls more did they start being more attracted to you after you started stapling your scrotum to your leg and whatnot?
You know, it doesn't matter what you do. If they see you on a TV screen, like, all of a sudden, then you become more attractive somehow.
It's true. It's
you know, like, what is that? I mean, you can play with poo on TV, and just the fact that you're on TV,
Dr. Drew, what is that? Why do people explain Mick Jagger getting laid several times?
It's because there's this sense of importance, you know, and it's really like prestigious, I think, you know, like once you're on TV, then it's obvious to these women that you're on TV for everybody else, too, and so they know everyone knows you, and so then they want to know, you know?
I don't want to say.
Oh.
The psychoanalyst would put it under the rubric of penis envy, I think. Because if you have the power, the magic phallus, that's the power of TV.
Okay, so, penis envy.
I mean, that's sort of where that's how people think about those things.
It's a dangerous weapon. You know?
I actually look at it more anthropological and biological. It's like, you know, as species, we're attracted up. People that have the sense of power, visibility, that kind of thing.
Right.
People kind of look up to. So
okay,
very primitive. Right. Cameron, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. semi-long-term listener. Nice. Listen to you and Adam Carolla back on KTOL.
That jerk.
Cool.
yeah, sweet echo, by the way.
Oh, we have an echo going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't figure it out. I think K-Rock sent it up to us.
Wait, you have the mix minus going here? Hang
what
on.
What the heck?
Your mix minus.
Am I echoing over here?
Drew, that was impressive that you knew about the mix minus.
I know I do all this stuff.
Wow. Man. Yeah, there's not much
you don't know. He's only had this show for, 20 years.
I better not run the board. Hang on here. I'm going to have to go. Well, we'll go up during the break.
Oh, man.
But Cameron, go ahead and ask a question.
All right, I had a question about Xanax because my friend, Chris, he has a prescription because he's, like, all messed up and stuff, or doctors say he is, and he brought a whole bag of it at lunch, and we took, like, three each, me and my friend.
What kind of Xanax? Are you taking the bars?
No, yeah, it's the blue one, the little pills.
Ah, the little footballs.
Yeah.
Even three of those is pretty gnarly.
Was that the 1 milligram blue, right? Ooh, boy.
Yeah, but we took them and we were, like, all tipsy during lunch and stuff. But I was just wondering, how long does that stay in your system? Because I got a drug test coming up next week.
I don't think they're going to test you for Xanax.
Usually they'll slip benzodiazepines in there, about 12 hours, to camera. But that's actually a dangerous medication. Not only can you...
That's so funny. I was just thinking how much I love it.
Well, I'm sure. It's very sedating and there's a little bit of a high associated with it. But it can stop you breathing. And you have a seizure when you come off, and obviously you can fall down, hurt things when you're on it. I mean, you're taking big dose, three milligrams.
Yeah. I'm not saying I love that much of it.
No, I had a very bad experience. I had cramps. My ex-roommate gave me a Zanny bar with a glass of wine. Big mistake. I didn't know, and she has a drawer full because I guess she's got a doctor.
I think everyone,
it was horrifying.
Yeah, like everyone's first experience with Xanax is not understanding that the bar consists of four pills.
Right.
Yeah, she just handed it over and it wiped me from existence.
I felt
it was very scary.
Xanax is a very powerful benzodiazepine.
The first time that happened to me, I was in the circus. You know, like before I was on TV, I was a circus clown. And
you didn't know that?
I really.
He went to circus college.
I graduated from Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Clown College.
I like him
so
much.
Class of 1997. So in any case, I'm performing in this circus, and I didn't know that the bar of Xanax was four pills, so. Mm. And it was late, and I thought it would just put me to sleep. I was quite drunk, too. I thought that I'd fall asleep sooner, and I knew that I had to, because, geez, you know, like, it was like 3 in the morning. I had to perform at 10:30 a.m.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So it's like 3 in the morning. I take the full bar of Xanax, and then I actually got up, and I had people coming to see me perform.
And you couldn't remember it?
No, I was able to remember, but I just remember how much stretching I had to do backstage to pull off my fire-breathing backflip. And it was just a nightmare, and I cursed that drug. But then
thankfully, a drug you cursed.
I know, but then I learned to respect it in moderation.
Yeah. Dr. Drew, they're very readily available to children and to people that have no idea what to do with them or disperse
medicine.
Yeah, so
good
just,
medicine,
so
anxiety,
that you know,
anxiolytic, but boy, dangerous.
Just the next day, my legs were jelly, Doc.
It makes you amnestic, too. You can forget what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, it kind of screws with your memory just a little bit.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. That is Steve-O and Nicole Alvarez joining us tonight. We're going to take a little break. Be right back. Visiting from the neighborhood.
And Steve was in the bathroom.
Yeah,
Steve was in the bathroom.
Skip to my loo. Steve was in the bathroom. Let's take a caller. This is Megan. What's up, Megan?
Hey,
what's happening?
I got a question. My and I, we both have sex regularly with each other, and I'm on birth control. We don't use condom. And he'll ejaculate in me, and I'll just take more than the prescription, you know, to prevent pregnancy.
Megan, what are you talking about?
She takes more than the recommended birth control to really, really protect herself against having babies.
Those pills are designed.
That means you're going to get pregnant, right?
That means you're going to get pregnant. Those pills are designed for very, very specific use. Take them as prescribed. That is, they are given in such a way as to be optimally effective. You cannot make them more effective. You can only make them less effective. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Aren't they prescribed, like, because people aren't supposed to tell people that?
You
have to get a prescription for it, right? How does someone hand over these pills?
Well,
and
I'm
not
sure they
that?
Tell them to take it the way as prescribed.
Yeah.
Megan is doing this on her own. What do you think is going to happen, Megan? What do you think that's going to do for
It'll
you?
It'll be like the morning after pill.
No, it's not like the morning after. Megan, pill is designed, the way you take it before sex is designed for optimal effectiveness. take it the way it's prescribed. Which one are you on?
Ortho-tricycline.
Not only that, you're on a triphasic pill, so you can screw everything up. You may be going from one phase to the next prematurely. Look, take
how about she goes to a doctor?
Prescribed. I'm certain she's going to one, and tell them what you've been doing. It's not a good idea. Okay?
Okay.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
It's very different going from no pill to a morning after pill to daily contraceptives to suppress ovulation and overdosing them after you've had sex, only increasing the probability that something unforeseen is going to happen.
So wait, you take it before sex and then double up after sex?
Yeah.
How's your pill usage?
Do you keep an extra packet around?
So you've got to be running out of it soon. Are you like 3 months ahead of where you're
supposed to
be?
Yeah, does your doctor ever go, hey, wait a second.
Why are you running out so fast?
Yeah.
No, I'll take it as prescribed, but when we have sex and he does ejaculate in me, then I'll take more than prescribed.
Just think about it, Megan. What would the drug companies or the doctors be doing by withholding information if there were ways you could use the pill to make it even more effective?
I know. You know what my dad always said? He said, well, son, if a little's good, a lot's better.
Okay. I knew you got that somewhere.
No, so, Megan, I don't think these doctors want to overpopulate the... I mean, they don't want to increase the population, so I don't think this is like... a conspiracy.
No conspiracy. Yeah. In fact, overdosing on the estrogen can give you liver tumors, blood clots, all kinds of lovely things. So, take it as prescribed. That's optimally effective. Okay? If you have more concerns, you want to... It's virtually 100% taken properly. If you want to get it more towards 100%, you can always wear a condom. But that's about it, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. What Megan, that makes you angry? Why is that disturbing you?
No. She knows what to do. Tell the doctor what's been going on, and just no more of that. It's crazy because, like, I get
Do you think we're withholding information from you about how to make a birth control pill that's 99.9% effective, more effective?
Do you tell your boyfriend this? I mean, did he suggest maybe?
Like, he'll actually have me make sure I have birth control to do that with.
Oh,
okay,
no.
And he won't wear a condom just to be safe?
No.
To be really safe? No. So
but you are really you're on the most effective means of birth control known to mankind, short of not having sex. Taking the pill the way it's prescribed.
But he doesn't want to wear a condom.
He doesn't have to wear a condom. He's nearly 100%.
Yeah, no,
nearly
wearing 100%. Condoms is pretty rad.
He can wear a condom to protect from STDs, and he can wear a condom to take the pill to 100%. But you're nearly 100% such as it is, Megan. All right?
Aren't you glad you called?
Yeah, I'm glad because I think I'll stop that now.
Okay, all good. Right, good idea.
Good.
It's
good
crazy.
Time.
Like I get heartburn, and you know, I feel like it's going to get worse and worse. You know, so like I'm Pepsi DC says just one tablet. I'm like afraid to take two.
You can take four days of that.
I know, but I'm worried that I'll get like a tolerance to
No,
there's
no tolerance.
I learned something
take
new.
Take four
rad.
Pepcid, Pepcid is a histamine 2 blocker. It's an antihistamine of sorts.
Let me ask you an Advil question here really quick. Mm. Say I have a really bad headache brought on from a hangover. Mm. Let's say the thing says take two or three, but my headache is enough that it's like take five.
No,
right?
You shut your kidneys down and give yourself an ulcer.
Oh, I drink my kidneys. That. Okay.
Chance. What's happening, Chance?
Chance?
Yep.
That's me. Okay, cool. Right. sorry, I've been listening since I was like 9 years old, and I've always wanted to call in.
Here you are.
And I'm a huge fan of Jackass, too.
Man,
I just wanted to ask Steve-O, honestly, man, how did you get into it where you're just... I mean, I know Johnny Knoxville and Chris Pontius are obviously as into it as you are, but how did you get together with those guys? Are they long...
It's everybody knows, man. We used to make a skateboard magazine, and, you know, Skateboard Magazine made a series of videos, and the executive producer of the videos it dawned on him one day that the footage and the videos people liked the best had nothing to do with skateboarding, so he endeavored
to... straddling a bar or something.
Yeah, it was just sort of attitude-driven skate videos, and we'd do all these skits and whatever, these stunts. So we just decided to take out the skateboarding and turn it into a TV show.
Interesting. And this guy's Travis.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good. What's up?
Oh, man. Hey, Steve-O, what's up, bud?
Chillin', dude, chillin'.
Huge fan of Jackass. I got this monster poster on my wall, Jackass. It's awesome.
Well, I hope you saved room for a new poster, pal, because Jackass 2 is in the works.
I know. So
we're almost done, dude. We're almost done with it, too. It's going to be September 22nd.
So the TV show is dead, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm bummed over that.
So, whatever. You know, there's going to be all kinds of TV specials to promote the movie. So,
things on MTV are not allowed to go more than 3 seasons. It's some sort of law of MTV.
Real World's 17 season.
No, it has one cast.
Nobody said it was though.
There's been seven. It's a new cast every season.
No, I'm saying if there's one cast.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
We did 5 seasons, and they were freaking out.
I don't know. Hey, don't put it past me to make. I mean, I guess if you make a new show, then you can continue.
Right.
Like Andy Dick.
Right.
So I've actually got a couple of quick questions. So I know you're pretty open about the whole druggies thing, so... Like, how much of Jackass was actually filmed while under the influence?
I guess, people would jump to the conclusion we take painkillers and stuff, but that's more for when we get done working.
It says here, what's your favorite stunt?
My favorite, I don't know. Like, it's all apples and oranges, man.
You like the elephant?
One time I talked to a registered nurse who had recently lost her job at the hospital into putting an IV into my arm. So that I could dump... I was just going to put in one shot of vodka.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I emptied out some of the saline, and so the bag was... put in a shot of vodka, and I just sat there thinking, and so then I put in two more shots, and ultimately I ingested, is that right? Threw an IV, 5 shots of vodka into my arm. And everyone thought I was going to die. Everyone's like, no, don't do it. And I figured, this is entering my bloodstream.
Yeah, but
right away. So if I feel funny, we're gonna know right away, and we can stop the trip.
Yeah, but it's not a sterile product going into your.
Yeah, whatever. It's keeping my immune system on its toes.
I love that he's sitting here with your badge around his neck, Dr. Drew. So I look, and it's Steve-O, but he's wearing like Dr. Drew's face on his chest, which is awesome. talking about this.
Sorry, but we really aren't that big on doing drugs while we work. We like to do a good job and then do drugs later.
Fair enough.
Honesty, ladies and gentlemen.
Andy.
Yeah, hello?
Hey.
Hey, Steve-O, what's up?
Nothing, man. I'm chilling, dude. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I have a question first about you first. Okay, on the one episode on Jackass, did you get busted on the one where you did the ramp over the sewer pond?
That wasn't me, but yeah, a number of the guys did get arrested for that.
Okay.
What kind of pond?
I thought it was a river jump or something. But yeah there's they went to jail for a minute.
And I have a question. Okay, I'm having a relationship problem. Okay, two girls asked me out to the prom, and one I've been going out for 3 weeks, and then another 3 years.
Whoa.
How old is he?
15. Does the 3-year know about the 3-weeker?
Yes, they do.
They know about each other?
And then, if I don't choose, if I choose a 3-week one, then the 3-year one will break me up.
Damn, prom. If it wasn't for the prom, he'd be fine.
Yeah, I think you gotta break up with the 3-year one, I'm afraid, because it sounds like you're just cheating on her.
And you're 15, you're young, try something new, the 3-weeker, you know?
Yeah. I know.
Well, but it's kind of in the face of the 3-year one to just
I never think
the
a guy's an or. Ass that's in a situation like that, because if the girls know about it, I think they're idiots.
But maybe
you know what's so hysterical about it is that if it wasn't for the prom, the prom is the only problem.
Here. Right, that's right.
You know, never mind that he's cheating on his girlfriend.
Right.
No, it's the prom. It's
I think you have to see the 3-year out of respect, see her through the prom, but wrap this relationship up. I think you do.
You owe her
be
the prom.
It's brutal to her not to take her to the prom.
Well, but then what about the 3-weeker?
Prom or no prom, do what you feel is right.
Oh, dude.
So what do you tell the 3-weeker, though, to keep her? Let's say you want to keep the 3-weeker around, but you owe the prom to the 3-year-er.
But you know what? If this 3 years been cheated on
already,
isn't it just how do they have a good time at the prom?
How far away is the prom?
How far away? It's not too far away. It's I guess in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's crunch time.
And why did they ask you and you not ask somebody?
Well, because I am kind of scared.
Sounds
just sounding bogus.
She just came to me. She brought it up. I said, okay.
Well, I'd say just don't go to the prom, dude.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Don't go all together.
Because, how do you go to the prom? If there's a sense of obligation that you bring with you to the prom, then that's just, belittling. Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. You owe it to the one girl to be honest with her and to end the relationship before you start another. if she wants to go to the prom, out of respect, you ought to take her. I agree with Steve, don't go to the prom at all with anybody.
Or take them both out to lunch at the same time, and if they get along, take them both to the prom. I'm saying, it's an alternative. It's an alternative.
And Nicole, you just hate those girls.
I just don't like when girls are in situations like that. Like,
I'm just saying.
They're being made fools of.
You're gonna put it to them, though.
Yeah, I have
to. They're both be miserable.
I have to. I kind of commend him. Take them both, dude.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE.
And don't have kids.
Thank you. LOVE191, that's the phone number. He is Steve-O. That's Nicole Alvarez helping us out. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE191. I am Dr. Drew. That is Nicole and Steve-O. And here's April wants to talk to Nicole very briefly. Here, April, what's going on?
Oh, hi. I listen to Loveline a lot, and a lot of times I hear it when, like, Nicole's leaving and she's kind of chatting with Dr. Drew, and I think it's great that she's finally on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like to stay around, and I wanted to hang out with Steve-O and see if we could get into any trouble.
She had a strange sort of tantalizing fear about you, Steve-O. She's like,
I did.
He's going to say something bad. He's going to upset me.
No, because remember the first time I met him, I was just taken aback with can we say that?
Analingus, that thing you said?
Oh, yeah. You can say that. This is Loveline, baby. You can say
I know, we're in safe harbor.
You can even say that analingus is eating ass.
But thank you. Thank you very much, April, by the way.
On regular radio, you can't say eating ass, but this is a show about love.
why don't you qualify what it was you had said?
We were supposed to do the webcast for, I think, Acoustic Christmas or something, and you introduced me to him, and he was like, hi, I'm Steve, and I like to eat ass or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, it sounds...
It was the Acoustic Christmas?
And I knew that, mushrooms
talking.
Yeah, and I knew that you were with Dr. Drew, so I was like, he's going to be fine. He's just going to be fine. Yeah. But thank you, April.
Richard.
Yes.
What's going on there, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think I have been circumcised wrong.
Why?
Well, I have there's some skin that's pulled from the tip of my penis to the shaft, and it's, like, stretched almost.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, fused together or whatever from, you know, whenever they did it when I was a baby, but...
Maybe it's just a scar.
Well, I don't know, because there's a hole, like, that goes underneath it, and it goes all the way through. Like, I've taken, a Q-tip, and I can stick it through, you know, and it's really weird.
Do you ever pee out of it?
No. It's.
I think
between...
Does it go through on the side, or does it go through?
He's painting a picture.
Well, it's some kind of phimosis. It's pretty common, and
it's like
that will occasionally have urine come out of it too.
No, it doesn't go into the urethra or anything. It's just a where the skin is pulled from the head to the shaft, like where the parts, you know, the helmet part, I guess. And that's where it's just a hole that goes straight through, like if you would pierce it or something like that, it would just.
Under the head.
Is it getting in the way of your pleasure?
No, not at all. I mean, it's just
sweet.
I wouldn't worry about it, Richard. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, are chicks kind of like laughing? Are they thinking that, like, wow, your wiener's messed up?
Well, not that. People spend a lot of money and time getting things crammed through their genitalia to wear jewelry.
I know, yeah. But as long as the girls aren't afraid to hit the hog, you know.
Dr. Drew, I forgot to tell you this. I saw my first uncircumcised penis in traffic the other day.
Oh, wow.
What?
An anteater.
Okay. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon, and
I was
going to...
Wait, let me just qualify.
Okay.
First uncircumcised penis, period, and it happened to be in traffic?
Yes.
First uncircumcised
first
in traffic?
No. Yeah. First uncircumcised penis, period, in traffic.
It happened to be in traffic.
It was 3:30 in the afternoon, and I was on Franklin, right by the Magic Castle.
This is in Hollywood, yes.
This is in Hollywood, and I was by the Magic Castle.
I just like uncircumcised penises anteaters.
It was, this guy pulled up next to me, and he was driving all ridiculous, so I didn't know what was up, but then I looked over, because he was like, psst, 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 and I looked over, and his windows are down, and it's just like... cholo, and he's laid back, and he's got his gold chain, and he's got something in his hand, and I'm looking, and I'm staring.
Was he just hard as a rock?
No, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a glowworm. It looked like a glowworm is what it looked like, only skin colored. You don't remember glowworms, do you, Steve-O?
The rave sticks?
No, a glowworm. It was a worm that lit up when you hugged it as a little kid, and then he looked at me, and I was
watching him. I just can't believe the guy had the nerve to...
He was masturbating right there, the window's down.
Hard.
Yes, but
okay.
It wasn't very big. It wasn't very big, so his one hand was covering it very much. And then he flipped.
I find that much less offensive, you know. If he was calling her attention, like, psh, psh, and he had like a
soft penis,
a softie,
that'd be bad.
Oh no, he was full into it, and I was just wondering how many people do that.
I mean,
traffic?
You have to be a little bit flattered by that, right? If he had a soft penis, then he wouldn't be flattered. Right?
Flattered and speechless.
Like,
what,
am I not enough to turn you on?
Grossed out?
No. I was almost thankful. Like, thanks for letting me in on that.
Really?
No, I wasn't really thankful. I wasn't affected either way. I was just like, that was weird, dude. That thing looked like a glowworm. That's what I thought. But
I mean, like,
surprising.
If some homo did that, you know, and he didn't have a boner, I'd be like, man, like, what am I not?
No,
hot?
And he was almost finished too. It was interesting.
How do you know he was almost finished?
Because you could tell by the like.
Oh,
like,
Crockett,
the calm before the storm.
Yeah. That didn't freak you out?
No, it was well, the 3:30 in the afternoon in front of the Magic Castle a little bit, but no, not really. It's Hollywood.
Okay.
I just thought I'd share that with you.
You know, my life was just an agonizing wait to get to Hollywood. You know, I was from such a young age.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I feel at home there
you
as well.
You were in London or something back
then.
Yeah,
but listening to Motley Crue, you know, as a little kid, and, you know,
you want to go to the sunset and see the whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah, all my heavy metal music from when I was just so young.
Of course, this was a bitter disappointment when you got here.
No,
not at all.
And it was skateboarding as well as heavy metal music and skateboarding is basically the way that I was raised. You know, I mean, I'm the product of skateboarding and heavy metal music, and it's all here, man. You know, I didn't want to come out here, you know, I didn't want to come out here and suck. You know, like call myself an actor or anything like that. I was like, I paid my dues elsewhere, and I vowed to get here when California invited me, when they were ready to welcome me with open arms.
That's very cool, and they did.
Crockett.
Yeah, totally.
Crockett?
Yeah, Dr. Drew, Steve-O.
Hey, what's happening?
First off, I'm a big fan of both of you guys, and I've been listening to and watching guys a lot, and I'm just a big fan.
Thank you.
And we rule together.
Absolutely.
We're like
really
Dragnet.
Yeah, you really do.
He wants to... right, I got it. Thanks. He wants to talk about one of your acting debuts, or performing debuts.
Yeah.
Performing moments.
Well,
what's that, Crockett?
I was worried about if you were a little hesitant of having Steve on from what he did to your former coworker on the Adam Carolla show.
You know what's funny is that Adam Carolla, like, that got Adam Carolla the biggest ratings he ever got on that stupid show.
Oh, my God.
And,
you got the whole internet the biggest ratings it's ever gotten on it, too.
Was I there that day, too?
It was what happened was I came back, I guess. Yeah, because
but
Adam
I think
Carolla,
I was there that day also.
I was a guest on before you were a guest. You were there just in case I didn't show up.
No, that's what it was. They were worried. I was actually in the studio that day because they were worried that Steve-O wouldn't show, and they asked me to stand by.
And they were even more worried that I would show.
Well,
and
then
they wanted
the next time,
you were my babysitter.
Well, the next time they actually formally had me babysit you.
Yeah.
Just in case you'd pulled something like that
is
again.
Is this urine gate?
Saying I was on
where
that.
He jumped off a... He got offended that Adam brought up something about a tattoo, and so he broke all the furniture up and then tackled Adam and pushed his chair back.
It was just a tattoo I'd had for years, you know. He wasn't doing his homework.
How'd you even remember the thing?
I can't remember. Like, I'm judging it by the footage like everybody else. But, you know, you think that, like, you know, Drew and Adam Carolla worked together for so long, and, like, what kind of a friend to Drew can Adam Carolla be when I was guest on his show twice before Drew was a guest even once?
Well, he gave me
that he's a jerk.
He gave me the privilege of standing by.
yeah. Totally, like you're a chump change.
You know I plead the fifth when it comes to this. I have to.
All right. Keep it moving. This is, we got to take a break. We do. All right,
I think we're having a great time.
I really do.
This is Steve-O. That's Nicole Alvarez. Those of you that are listening around the country, Nicole has a show ahead of Loveline, and she'll come in here once in a while and grace us with her presence, particularly as an exciting co-host.
Gracie, poor thing. You have to babysit me for the entire time I'm here.
Gracing is a positive thing. Like, you bless us with your presence. Was that the same way of saying that?
I feel bad for you sometimes because you have to hang out with me so much.
Man,
what are you talking about? I'm feeling like attacked here tonight.
No, not at all.
I feel like I smoked pot on the way over here, and I have the munchies.
Let's go get something to eat.
I know, but I can't. I'm fasting.
Oh, dude. Steve-O's going to have a huge executive physical tomorrow, including an upper endoscopy and a total body CT scan. A PET scan. It's going
to
be awesome.
After we get back from the break, I want you to tell me like a little bit about
each procedure.
Yeah, totally.
All right, fair enough. This is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline, and we will be right back. We are back on Loveline. The phone over here is 1-800-LOVE-9. 191. Pretty weak. Pretty weak. This is Dr. Drew. That is Steve-O and Nicole Alvarez joining us. And I was explaining to Nicole about your illustrious upbringing, your education. Okay. And she was like, what? What? Queen's English? Egypt? What?
I think that's awesome.
Tell her about this.
Well, okay, I was born in England to a Canadian-born mother and an American-born father.
By the way, your mom is the only one I've had no sort of contact with.
I know, my mom died.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I didn't know that.
She suffered from an aneurysm on October 10th, 1998.
What happened? Cerebral aneurysm?
She played through,
cerebral aneurysm?
She played 18 holes of Garv. It was a subarachnoid brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, yeah, the blast.
So, yeah, it was cerebral, I guess, yeah. But, yeah, she hung in there until she was proud of both of her kids and became a grandma.
Wait, what about the golf?
She played 18 holes of golf and cooked a three-course meal the night before, and in the morning, like, she just started twitching, I guess. And,
yeah.
But in any case, my mom was born in Canada, my dad was born in America, I was born in England, so I have three passports.
Wow.
Tri-national. 6 months old, the family moved to Brazil, and my dad was kind of a player. He ran, Pepsi-Cola and all of South America. We moved to Rio de Janeiro, where I was raised by servants. So my first words, I spoke in Portuguese. 2 years old, we moved to Caracas, Venezuela, and I spoke fluent Spanish in nursery school. 4 years old, I moved to Darien, Connecticut.
So, but your first words were in Portuguese?
Yeah.
Do you still speak it a little bit?
No, but I was in summer camp when I was 11 years old, and I woke up and the kid said, dude, you spoke fluent Portuguese in your sleep last night. Wow. So it's in there.
I am the smartest man alive!
No, but I don't know
if I could, those of you that don't live in the Northeast, Darien, Connecticut is like Desperate Housewife territory. It is, I don't know, it's upper middle.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, I spoke three languages fluently by the age of 3 and forgot to completely by the age of 4. And then at 6 years old, I moved to Miami. When I was 9 years old, we moved to London, England. 12 years old, I moved to Toronto in Canada.
Where'd you live in Miami?
And then all 4 years of high school, I went to the American school in London, England.
Do you remember where you lived in Miami?
Pine Bay Estates, off Red Road. And I went to Gulliver Academy.
I went to Gulliver, too.
I
got kicked out of Gulliver.
I got in trouble.
Wow, that's interesting.
Then he started traveling.
yeah. Then I started. But
Egypt or something.
I went to Egypt on an 8th grade school trip.
Wow.
And I've never said this before, but enough story.
Number what?
Enough about him.
All right, enough about him.
He's fascinating.
All right, let's make here's a quick.
I can't believe I said that.
Here's a quick Steve-O question. I actually wondered about this too. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I was just curious. I was watching America's Sex Top Model, and I was just curious if Steve-O ever got the number of the chick you were.
I didn't. Actually, I got her number.
Oh,
I got
you did?
Her number, and it was all, top secret. I couldn't even talk to her. No, I talked to her a couple times, but, she
You've
canceled.
Been on that more than once, right?
No, I was on it just
Where you took
time.
Pictures, took still pictures.
I thought those pictures were so freaking hilarious.
But that girl, the girl I was all in love with, she waited until after, it was over, and there were the confidentially, or she was out of the house. And,
really?
Then I talked to her, and she said, my boyfriend wouldn't like it if I came to see you.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, you waited this long?
Of course. She wanted to do whatever she could to enhance her chances.
I had much better success with the winner of the previous season.
Ooh. Is she the one that was deported? Or
No.
Alex.
Yes.
What's happening?
Hey, nothing really. I actually have two questions. One that I just now thought of. I have one question regarding what you guys talked about last week, people that have sex changes.
Yeah.
Can they actually have sex and, have feeling and all that?
Yeah, it must be different than I imagine.
You would have to turn a wiener into a clitoris, right?
Well, they kind of turn the wiener kind of inside out. I don't quite understand how it gets aroused, but I'm sure,
There's got to be a loss of sensation.
Well, there has to be, and I really am not an expert in this area, but I don't imagine a man giving up the wiener and the orgasm.
Yeah.
I don't see males doing that.
Yeah. You find when men dress as women, that they keep their junk.
No, I think they sometimes do, and sometimes they lose their junk, but I can't imagine they lose their junk and the orgasm. It just doesn't make sense to me.
There was someone who had a sex change who might have helped me with my junk.
What?
This came up one time, ages and ages ago.
On Loveline?
And I was in here, and I was explaining how someone had introduced themselves to me as a hermaphrodite.
Yes.
Right?
And
then I guess later, and then after I had you can say that it's love line. She's such fun. It was a dude who had a sex change.
Oh.
And, I mean, I'm talking like the hands didn't look really big or anything. There was no Adam's apple.
Well, they
like,
give him a lot of estrogen
fake
stuff.
Fake boobs were, I mean, this was a, this dude looked like more like a hot chick than
a lot of hot chicks do. Yeah.
And I knew something's up because, you know, the voice didn't throw me off either.
Well, they put him on hormones. The other thing goes back.
Okay.
So it's like I'm a hermaphrodite, but I've had an operation, so now I'm 100% female. You know, but there was like the psychological issues going on, and I thought that this individual, you know, like needed to stop thinking of themselves as such damaged goods. You know, I thought that our night together,
bring her around.
Yeah, I wanted her to know that she was special too, even though it was a he.
Did you masturbate for her like you commonly?
Yeah. But I got the. Yeah, she sucked my wiener. Dude sucked my wiener. But I'm telling you, that dude looked like a hot chick to me.
No, I've seen some. I've seen some good ones.
And the female to male trend. Well, you haven't looked at our book, have you?
Oh, man, you know,
Yeah, I've seen that book.
Okay, all right.
That book.
And I know that I've got people from my internet community that are listening right now who can email me pictures of this individual.
Oh, really?
Well, not that I would put it anywhere, but I'm saying that this individual is that attractive. That, like, you know,
good boobs, everything, the whole works.
Yeah, really hot dude.
And here's the other deal, that female to male transsexuals are probably having more orgasmic function because they're given lots of testosterone.
Has Steve-O seen the book? Has he seen the book?
Oh, yeah, Steve-O's seen it. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I get to pee
on
the
how you doing?
Hey, you're on with Steve-O.
Hey, Steve-O, how you doing? Love Wild Boys and Jackass.
Hey, man, thanks, bro.
Yeah,
I wonder how many fans I just lost telling the dude sucks my wiener story.
That's another harsh, you know, story.
I felt like I was doing something good for the world. What's your question, bro?
I wanted to get... This was more of an opinion from Dr. Drew and you, Steve-O. I'm 30 years old, and I'm thinking about breaking into the porn industry.
There's no breaking in for males, my understanding.
Yeah, you're not going to make... Don't do it for money, man. Like,
But there's no breaking in for males. Males,
no,
the only way they go.
It's more like my appetite for sex is just like it can't be craved. I mean,
it can't
be craved.
You mean, yeah, it can't be quenched.
Yeah,
well, that's sexual addiction.
I was with this girl, and I mean, I couldn't stop with her. I got to the point where she kicked me out of her apartment because I couldn't stop.
You know what? Well, I mean, you need to get the money shot if you want to get anywhere in porn, pal.
Having had these people on here over the years, they basically say that the males are not welcome. Unless they bring a bunch of women, and then really they're interested in getting the women into the industry.
All right, well, you know, what I hear this guy saying is, hey, dudes, Drew, Steve-O, like, I'm great in bed, and people need to check me out.
Right, and what I'm hearing I'm an effed-up sex addict, and this is going to spiral out of control, Mike, so you might look into this before...
So this has nothing to do with the porn industry, really? Yeah.
Not at all.
He thinks he's so good in bed that he needs to be seen.
Check out SA.
Because his appetite can't be craved.
I think his thing is he doesn't want to lose any of this energy, have it go out into the universe. It needs to be...
preserved for posterity.
Honed. Stay.
I think he wants it to be filmed and shown to everyone.
Yeah.
What's happened there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I want to know if I'm addicted to hentai.
Hentai?
Animated porn. Anime?
Yeah, you know, that's... Remember the caller that had, she watched porn, but she cried, for empathy or sympathy of these women that are being abused.
Yes, yes.
That animated porn, you don't have to do that.
No woman being abused. Yeah. Good point. Very interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's why you like animated porn, because, you know, half the time I can't even tug a load out properly, you know, because the girl's just being, you know, just demeaned.
Okay. And Stacey, what's your question?
How can I tell if I'm, like, actually addicted to it?
If you, if it starts affecting your functioning, if it progresses, if there are consequences, you're spending money or you're doing things where you're, you know, taking risks or losing
your lifestyle
work.
Your lifestyle is suffering because of it.
Yeah, if it's harming you.
Well, luckily, downloading it, as long as it's not licensed in the U.S., they can't bust you for illegal pirating. So I've acquired.
And again, if you're not having sexual abuse, if you've not been addicted to other things, chemicals, and you're not having consequences, it doesn't really meet criteria for addiction.
If she's really honoring the copyright laws, you know, like then I really don't see a problem.
Right, Layla.
It's Lala.
Lala, I beg your pardon. What's
it's that? All right. My question is, I have a problem with self-mutilation, and I've been trying to stop, but is there, like, treatment or something I can do to stop?
Yeah. Basically, self-mutilation is a symptom of severe psychological psychiatric distress. You don't have the means to regulate your emotions internally, so you're reaching for whatever means available to sort of bring you back.
Is there even a name for that symptom?
Cutting.
Cutters.
Self-mutilation. And it is a sign of severe distress. Have you not had any treatment?
Well, like, I tried one time when I was, like, 14, but it didn't work or whatever.
And when the mutilation starts becoming worse, it's because you're getting more depressed or more manic, whatever, some more psychiatrically unstable. And like any other sort of addictive behavior, there is a treatment. Sometimes it includes 12-step. More often than not, it's individual therapy and medication.
Well, like, so it's kind of like crying for help, kind of?
It's not crying for help. It's actually a bid to feel better.
Well,
more often than not.
Is it the pain that you're after?
No. More often than not. Well, there's sort of an addictive component to it. There's a little bit of a high with it. But more often than not, it's somebody who tends to dissociate. A trauma survivor sort of dissociates in its way of kind of bringing them back. It's like, gets them back into the moment. Yeah.
When I prove to themselves they're alive?
Makes them have feelings.
Makes them feel alive. Yeah. Okay.
When I started, they found out, my mom did when I was like 15, she found out, but like I hit it, and I started just piercing myself and tattooing to get the same, you know, the same
thing. Oh, if that's what you're talking about, then I've got massive problems with self-mutilation.
Well, no, like, that was my way of hiding it without showing him that that's what I was trying to get the same high from. Because, like Dr. Drew said, you get a high from it, like, there's no other high compared to it, like drug use.
Wow, that's wild.
I use them, but it's not the same high.
I would picture it that here's an individual that thinks lowly of themselves and like, oh, you know, I don't deserve this body, and so, you know.
It isn't that kind of thought. It's much more primitive than that. It's just, bring me back. I've got to feel better. It's just,
So when did they first get the notion to do that? Lala, when did you first get, like, even the notion to do that? Did you have a friend that was a cutter as well?
Well, kind of, yeah. She was like, we were 12, I think, at the time, or 13 or 12, and she's like, look, this is a quick, easy way. It makes everything better. I was like, okay, might as well try it, and it kind of...
Did you do it together?
No. Like, I seen her do it one time because I walked in a room, and I was like, oh, what are you doing? And she's all, nothing, and then, like, I don't know. I picked
up. So she was more, like, sort of proud of it and an exhibitionist, and you're trying to hide it?
I didn't want nobody to know. I hid it from...
And what happened to you growing up? What kind of trauma did you go through?
Well, I went through a lot. Like, my mom was a drug addict and whatnot, and I kind of took over the role of, you know, taking care of my brother and my cousin, because she had adopted my cousin before all this.
Right.
But the messed up part of it all was they were older than me, but somehow I became the responsible one.
Right. And then what else happened to you?
Well, I was sexually abused a few times as I was growing up.
Was sexual abuse a very, very common preceding experience to cutting?
Do you masturbate?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, but I'm real sexual active, and like I'll have sex with complete strangers.
Cause I don't know if it would work, but it's just like when you're going to cut yourself,
masturbate instead. Is that what you're saying?
Masturbate instead.
No. And it might sound like he's.
It's a better move. However, Lala is a sex addict and sexual abuse.
You know what that would be like? That'd be like when you're trying to quit smoking cigarettes, instead of grabbing for a cigarette, grab for gum. Like, why do you perpetuate the problem anyway?
The point is well taken, but however, we got a different problem here, which is that she's hypersexual from the sexual abuse. She's never satisfied by you compulsively. Steve, you and I haven't really talked about this, but there's a thing that happens to people when they're severely traumatized or made to feel terrorized as a kid. That becomes immensely attractive when you're a young adult. If somebody sexually abused you, that's the kind of a-hole you're constantly, like, you've got to have. People describe it psychologically in many different ways. They say it's something trying to master a horrible experience. Reality is it just wires in. Something horrible wires you in. When puberty turns it on, you get attracted to that kind of stuff.
If I get more therapy, will that work?
It'll help, right?
It will very much help. You may need a little 12-step, too.
Do you have scars all over you that are...
I have a few, but I got them tattooed over, like, so you can't... Well, you can see them if you really look, but my tattoos cover them. And the other ones I have, I'm getting covered with tattoos.
Yeah, I you know...
I don't know if you can tell anything by their voice, Dr. Drew, but the other cutters that I've seen on documentaries and whatnot, she sounds pretty alive and social. And
She had some treatment, I think.
Yeah, you've had treatment?
She said, would more therapy help
her? Oh, okay.
Layla?
Yeah, I had some treatment when I was younger, but I
I don't know. I don't think it really worked too well. And
but
I'm also
saying what do you make of her having learned this from her friend, though? You know,
there is a certain amount of contagion when it comes to this kind of behavior, or copycatting. But
it is me, and I was totally amazed that you could remember that call.
Ah, baby, you know,
you'll never forget it, Marina. What are you talking about? I think about you all the time.
It's something that I relate to. You know, like sometimes porno bums me out.
And I was like, Jesus, is that guy? Which I'm sorry, but you don't seem the type that'd be like, oh, porn. I empathize with the woman. Like I was.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
I call it the way I see it, babe.
I was like, okay, now I have the ammunition to go to my boyfriend and be like, look, it's fine for me to cry during porn. It's totally normal.
Even Steve-O thinks about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, I won't cry, but it'll ruin my boner, you know?
You pansy!
That really helped me. Like, it really did help me. So now I feel totally okay with it.
That's awesome, you know. And maybe try some of this animated porn.
Which is Steve-O's plan, by the way.
Right. Animated. That's the way to hit it. All right, thank
you.
I just wanted to tell you that I really did.
Yeah, I want to see a cartoon get torn a new one tonight.
Joseph.
I've never seen one of those.
My question is, you know, the little stripe underneath the penis when you're not circumcised, it like keeps you from pulling your skin all the way back, right?
He's got an actual stripe.
A little frenulum, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got a little cut right there. I think my girl was giving me like brain for like a long time.
Giving me brain. I've heard that one.
Giving me brain.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so romantic. Oh my God!
I love that.
Yep.
So,
is that ever going to heal or what?
Usually it is. You might try a little Cordate over the counter. Let me tell you something. First, what you want to do is keep it clean and dry, and put an antibacterial on there like Neosporin. Next step is the anti-inflammatory like Cordate. But usually, again, dry and clean is the key thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because I was trying Vaseline, and it heals with Vaseline. No. It'll heal because it's always clean. You know what I mean? But
no Vaseline. Yeah. Do not use Vaseline. That's not a good idea.
Oh, okay. So that's
does it keep tearing?
Exactly, it does keep tearing.
Might need a circumcision. That's about the only thing you can do to correct that if it really continues to bug you. That's the kind of thing.
He's got an anteater, huh?
He's got an anteater, and that's the kind of thing that, Nicole, the other thing that the glowworm, yes. She showed me a glowworm during the commercial.
Oh, okay.
It's a genius sort of analogy to an uncircumcised penis.
Yeah. Corey, you can pull it up, please.
It's phallic and
super phallic. Pull it up for Steve-O.
It's phallic and an uncircumcised
smiley, happy face right in the middle of it.
It's an anteater.
And it glows.
The tip has to come out of that anteater trunk. And if it comes out and tears it, then it heals and sort of clamps down a little more. And when it tries to come out again, it clamps more and stars more. You see it?
Yeah.
Look at that.
You remember
this? I've got a question. I mean, and Nicole said since she saw her first anteater just the other day. But,
yeah.
I mean, you get a little bit more reach with an anteater, right? Are there women that seek men that are uncircumcised? You know,
I don't know. You know, in this country, it's so funny. You see how the culture makes you accustomed to certain things. Everywhere in the world, they wouldn't dream of the uncircumcised penis. And here, women are freaked out by an uncircumcised penis.
I know, but I mean, and another question, isn't it wrong? I mean, like, babies, you know, are innocent sort of blank pages, if you will. And, you know, the first experiences that babies have are the most, you know, like the most influential.
Yeah, I know where he's going with
this. So now, is it not wrong to mutilate a baby's wiener as its first experience, or one of the first experiences?
And are those the formative years? Because that could be potentially traumatizing.
Very formative. The first experiences you have are the most important.
You could argue that. However, they anesthetize them out, and guys, the babies don't feel anything.
Do they not?
No.
Because and now just one other question. Like, why is it like these crazy old rabbi men doing it? Like, I mean, shouldn't it be a doctor, for God's sake?
For the most part, that's who does it. That's who I would like to do it for me.
What a crazy old rabbi.
No, I don't know.
What are the benefits?
The back of a Lincoln Continental is the way to do it.
Are there any benefits to the anteater / glowworm / uncircumcised?
For the women,
There are, not for the women, but there actually are medical benefits when they add the score up anyway, and they look at this research for having a circumcised penis.
Absolutely, because all the bacteria is clogged under there.
Well, there is a little bit of the upkeep in the bacteria and the yeast and that kind of stuff, but more importantly, the viral diseases, particularly like the HPV, are less likely to be contracted and therefore less likely to pass on cervical cancer.
And that's because it's captured in the foreskin.
They don't really know,
to
tell you the truth, but that's...
It would have to be.
It's just one of the advantages. There's never been penile cancer in a circumcised penis. There's also a question about other sorts of infections and things. So it looks like there's a slight advantage to it.
I'm circumcised, and I distinctly recall my being in the bathtub and my mom was bathing me when I was just a little kid, and her telling me, teach me to pull back my, you have a little ring around your,
yeah,
around the rosy.
Yeah, it makes it look like, yeah, kind of an acorn, and. I remember my mom telling me even to pull that back, and it's like, I'm circumcised, for God's sake, but that's it.
And I meant benefits for women, like for a woman to be with a guy that's uncircumcised.
Seems like it would poke just a little further.
Just a little further. A little more reach around is what you call it? Reach around?
That comes out, though, right? The head comes out.
Yeah,
Are there pictures in your book? Are there pictures in your book?
Oh, I'm sure I've got it in my book.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
I wonder if they make porno movies with strictly uncircumcised penises.
Cartoon porn movies with strictly uncircumcised penises.
Once the sort of action begins, the lack of circumcision isn't that noticeable.
I wonder if there's like a demand for porno movies with like guys with like green discharge and like open source.
We are losing it. The phone number is 1-800. Nicole, I blame you because he wasn't.
It's almost time for me to go.
He wasn't this bad last night. I'm just saying he was.
No, but all the things he's asking, however, out there.
To
I'm really.
A girl.
I know. I'm interested in finding out. These are all logical questions.
Yes, they're logical. They're not illogical. They're just disgusting.
Yeah, they're disgusting, but I mean. I mean, there's definitely a need for the answers.
Every time I open my mouth, just a real jerk.
Just ribbons of glory.
I love it. I love
spiral
it.
Spiral forth. 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Nicole helping out. That's Steve-O entertaining, and we'll be right back. Steve-O, is his name? There he is. He is in the
Me? Are we on?
Yeah.
Nothing. We should get some callers, because apparently I've made this potty show. Remember? You said, we're losing it, and you blamed it on me, so let's take some callers.
All right, okay. All right.
Take some callers.
All right, fair enough. This is Alicia, and Steve-O's been lost. Oh.
He's back.
He's
back.
All right, what's up, Alicia? Or Alicia?
Yes, hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, I have a problem with my boyfriend. He, I think he's addicted to masturbating. And, what happens is that we'll fool around, and I can get him, like, off and, like, hard, but, like, as soon as we start to do anything, like, intercourse-related, he goes down.
Uh-oh.
He can't keep his erection.
Does he wear a condom at that point, or that has nothing to do with it?
No.
I think maybe he puts on putting on a condom is what's
No condom.
No, there's no condom.
Does he have
any
medical problems?
Me.
I'm sorry?
Does he have any medical problems?
No.
Is he doing drugs?
No. Well, yeah, kind of.
What's he doing?
Meth.
All right, there you go. That's the problem.
Don't do meth.
She's in Riverside. Who doesn't?
I don't know, man. I mean...
But he's still masturbating,
Dr. Drew. Is that much of an epidemic that it doesn't bother you? Think it's cute?
No, I don't at all.
In Riverside, who doesn't? So, and you know, it's taking over the damn country.
I know.
Like, the whole of the USA is going to be like Hawaii.
Well, I'll tell you what, like Hawaii.
Like Hawaii, yeah, the ice that they in Hawaii.
Oh, I remember that. Well, I'll tell you what, though. One of the ways you can get a young male's attention is tell him his penis isn't working because of drugs, that he will listen to that.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on here. Does he smoke cigarettes, too?
No.
Okay. Does he smoke pot, too?
No.
But pot, just, you know, pot yeah. Never hurt anyone.
It can make your penis not work, though.
I know, but, like... I know, like I said, I'll smoke pot specifically to masturbate.
Yeah,
I find it to be very, very performance enhancing.
Nice.
Well, not performance enhancing, but you
experience
know, pleasure enhancing.
Enhancing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice
so
PSA
the worry...
for pot. Thanks, Steve-O.
So wait, the concern is not his addiction to masturbating; it should be his dabbling in crystal meth.
Yeah, I mean the only reason he's not dabbling,
he's
the
not
only reason
dabbling, he's a full tweaker.
Right. The only reason he can do it when he's masturbating is it's just a more efficient way to come to a climax.
Good night.
When he's actually
for promoting drugs.
Thank you.
Drugs are bad.
All right, Alicia, you got to take care of that problem before the sexual problem is going to take care of itself. All right.
Okay. I have another question, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I kind of like being choked.
Oh, boy.
as of, like...
What a couple.
Yeah, you've got that very much little girl voice thing going on that you were, like, something happened to you when you were, like, 6.
That is so funny.
What happened?
I wanted to know, it's like, I know it's probably not safe.
What happened to you when you were six,
yeah,
six years
old? Yeah, what was
old?
Funny about what he just said?
Oh, that I have a little girl voice?
Yeah. I don't know that something might have happened to you when you were six. Mm. Did anything happen to you? History, sexual abuse, anything?
No. No. Okay.
Mm. No one ever never physically abused you?
No, not at all.
Are you doing meth?
Yeah, the other thing is doing drugs. You're doing drugs yourself. Sometimes you're doing, particularly like opiates, it's hard. It's a satellite. If you're doing opiates, it's hard to feel sexual.
Yeah.
Are you doing painkillers?
No.
Ever done those?
Well, no, she's horny as all hell.
No, the choking thing.
Yeah.
The choking is usually some sort of physical abuse, sometimes sexual abuse, and or an opiate history.
Uh-huh.
Never took painkillers?
No.
Hmm.
Well, I've done other drugs in the past, but nothing like recently or anything like that.
Did I say you recently did painkillers? I just say, did you ever do painkillers?
We got Dr. Drew getting grumpy again.
Is that called autoerotic asphyxiation?
But it's not auto. She likes the boyfriend to do it to her when they're having sex.
To the point of that you, I mean, I don't know much about that choking
thing. I passed out, and I don't know what's going on, yeah.
So
what's the fun in that?
You just got a sexual abuse thing about you, Alicia. No one ever sexually abused you?
No, never.
No one ever hit you growing up with an object?
No,
she sounds
never.
Cute.
And then what was the drugs you were...
Really
what's that?
My childhood was really average. I mean, I had nothing like traumatizing like that.
No one ever hit you?
No.
And then what was the drugs you were doing?
I did E in high school. I did meth. I did pretty much anything that you could possibly imagine I've done or tried. But that's been like... It's been like 5 years since I've done any of that.
Did you get strung out on anything?
Yeah.
What? 21.
On ecstasy.
Yeah, I was going to say, ecstasy is the one that I have heard of doing this kind of thing. Ecstasy can actually burn out the centers that cause sexual arousal, and you can have that where you don't feel, it's hard to feel sexual, it's hard to be aroused, hard to feel satisfied by orgasm and things.
Actually, so that's not true for me at all. Like, the E, having sex when I did E, didn't affect me. I mean, it affected me, but, I mean, afterwards, I mean, it felt the same. I mean, there was still...
Sometimes it happens years later.
Yeah.
And that's what you're describing now, is that you like this extraordinary, excessive arousal. And what I'm saying is that is a sign. Sometimes people are sexually abused, have an over sort of a shattering of their arousal system. And so in order to feel arousal, they have to have these very intense experience. Sometimes drugs can do that. Opiates being the most common, that the sort of pleasure centers become sort of downregulated. So it's hard to feel the euphoria associated with sex unless something extreme is happening, like asphyxiation. And what I'm saying is, from people who have done E, ever, even small amounts, Alicia's got her own agenda to everything.
Yeah.
I have seen this too, though unusually so, but I have definitely seen this from that. Let's get with...
Ecstasy is bad. I mean, it's like, I can't climax on it, you know, like...
On it. Yeah, but afterwards, some people can't. That's the problem.
That whole brain damage thing that you said, and people take it so lightheartedly, and that's not even the proper way to describe it.
Young people are, and sort of, don't use too harsh a word, I don't want to, let's say, not inspired people think, oh, what, you know... What's my brain? I'm not going to be a scientist. What's the big deal? I don't need a brain. What's the big deal?
No, I mean...
But I'm not talking about the cognitive centers of the brain. I'm talking about the emotional centers, the drive centers, the experiential centers. Those are what get messed up most. Steve-O.
I mean, it's just like next thing you know, everyone's out to get you. Don't
have some drugs.
You know, and yeah, speed's worse, man.
Jennifer. All right. I can't get anybody calls. All right.
Okay, well, if we don't have a call...
And we do. We have lots of calls. I just can't get anything interesting. Griffin. What's up, Griffin?
All right. This is a little really weird. Watch. Someone's going to listen, then I know.
Hold on. Don't knock over that bong.
I have visions, kind of... Not visions, but ideas pop into my head when I'm having sex.
Yeah, like
and
what?
Masturbating, and they pop into my head all the time, but mostly when I'm ideas.
He gets ideas, kind of like all of a sudden he thinks, like, I'm going to kill a rabbit or something.
No.
Or epiphanies. Like,
I want to choke my girlfriend to death, but I never do it, and I'm not a violent person. Nothing's happened to me. I mean, but I want to, like, I don't see it happening. By image, I mean, like, I have an idea. Like, I want to just, like, throw her off my roof and, like, you know...
Do you do drugs?
Hang her with a belt, no.
For
Have you done drugs, massive amounts of drugs, delusional drugs? I mean,
no,
have you done
drugs?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yes, very
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I'm with Drew that you've been hitting the bong. I mean, no big deal.
Honestly,
I'm not promoting that.
No,
honestly,
no PSA.
What's that?
Honestly, I'm sober. I don't know.
Yeah, you were sober at the moment, but 4 hours ago you were high.
Here's a question. Are you completely sober when you get these ideas?
Yeah. I mean, she's been my girlfriend for 1 year and 8 months tomorrow.
Now, I know that, when, I'm a big-time premature ejaculator, and I'll be in the moment, and I'll be trying to think about, my
Margaret
grandma,
Thatcher.
My grandma, so, yeah. I wonder if this is, the opposite, or... You know, are you not, is this, you're not getting anywhere, you're kind of going forever, and you think, well, maybe if I up the stakes in my mind, then I'll be able to get to that point of no return.
No, I know what you're saying, but no, it's like, it's more like, it's forced into my head almost.
Who's forcing it?
I don't force it into my head, but it's like something...
You're saying that you can't
stop.
Well, it's sort of OCD, obsessional thoughts that are disturbing is a feature of OCD.
Yeah.
Are you driving along sometimes and think, if I don't... count to five, the car is going to run off the road, or funny obsessional thoughts like that, intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, if I shut my eyes for 10 seconds, I could be dead.
Right. That's OCD.
Well,
and then he closes his eyes for 10 seconds, to take a big risk or something?
He's dead.
Yeah, I've done it.
That's OCD. And I've noticed a fair number of marijuana smokers get these kinds of symptoms. So if you have a pretty heavy hot pot history, that can predispose to this.
Have you talked to your girlfriend about these visions?
And it can be something that happens just normally, too. I mean, not normally, but as part of a psychiatric
syndrome. You think Willie Nelson has that?
That's why he plays that effed up guitar.
Now, have you talked to your girlfriend about these visions that you have while you're having sex with her?
No, I'm trying to live a normal life. I do.
That'd be enough to creep a lady out.
Yeah, I was just wondering. That's why wondering.
Do you have other rituals you have to do? Do you have to, flick light switches on and off and that sort of thing?
No, not really. I'm just really weird about my car. And, I mean, a lot of guys are about their first car, you know what I mean?
What else do you do?
I don't know. I'm really compulsive about getting to work 30 minutes early, but, I mean, I don't think
that's... Do you ever do the thing where you convince yourself that... You left a light on, or you left the oven door open, or something. Even though you know you didn't, you had to go back and check it.
Yeah, my cell phone.
Yeah. Everybody does that.
Intrusive thoughts, obsession. It's just more than average. That's all. I just got an OCD quality for this.
That's OCD, Dr. Drew. For example, if I touch something with my left hand, I have to touch it with my right, and vice versa. I cannot function if somebody...
Right. What are you fearful is going to happen if you just touch
I have
left
no
hand?
Fear of anything happening. I just feel unbalanced.
What if I do that?
It makes me feel kind of uneven. Stop it. It makes me feel like I haven't had my V8, uneven.
But
so
you don't feel like something awful is going to befall you.
The other day, I pinched my roommate's breasts, joking around, and she was like, ow, and I needed to do the other one. To even it out.
Oh, man. That's
a Steve-O move.
No, I know.
I hate it when people do that.
I know, but I'm just saying I have to do things. If I tap, tap here,
I'll throw people will do stuff.
Oh, and I'm a biter, too.
And I'll just snap, and I'll throw, a temper tantrum. I'll be like, just because you know what my job is doesn't make you my boss.
Yeah, so does that make me OC something? That's the only thing. It has to be some balance thing.
Usually with the OCD, people feel that something bad's going to happen to them if they don't do that.
No, I just feel uneven.
So, April, what's up? Oh, wait, I got to get April up here. April?
Yeah?
Hey, what's up?
I'm almost 16, and I have a problem with, hooking up with older guys.
How many years is that?
I think they have a problem hooking up with you since you're 15.
Yeah. How old?
Jailbait over here.
21.
And what do you mean hooking up?
Just illegal.
That's very funny, Steve-O. He really cracked her up. He's not trying to be funny, April.
I know, but I don't know, guys my own age, I'm just not attracted to him.
Okay, so now here you're in the situation. You're having sex with a guy who's 21 years old. Then all of a sudden, he decides to move on. Let's say, and he breaks your heart, you've got this incredible weapon over him. How do you not use it, I feel like she's going to throw a dude in the slammer because he broke her heart.
That's legitimate.
Basically, Steve-O's trying to figure out how to pull this off.
I've been to spring break before,
Wow. We are losing it.
April, I don't know what to say except this is a bad idea. Do you actually have sex with these guys?
Yeah.
It's a horrible idea. You're going to regret this. Have these guys been good to you?
Yeah. But we're not like in a...
Yeah, but come on. We're talking about the a-hole. When you look around, you see the 21-year-old guy that would hook up with a 15-year-old. He's an a-hole.
Right. What Steve-O's reporting something that I said last night, and I say frequently, which is you 22-year-olds are hooking up with a 15-year-old. 7 years from now, when you're 22, and you look around at 22-year-old guys and think, who is the guy that would date a 15-year-old and have sex with her? You will vomit on the spot when you realize who that guy is.
That
was the a-hole you were with when you were 15, was that abusive, obnoxious 22-year-old who would prey on a 15-year-old. So that's the problem with this, is that these are the exploitative guys that are taking advantage of your...
Yeah.
You.
She said she's almost 15, right?
Almost 16.
And odds are, too, that you know, what she's describing that she's attracted to is exploitation, right?
What? That may be the case, which is Steve was making the case that you were sort of abused or exploited growing up or terrorized by that, and that's why you're attracted to that now. And moreover, just being a young person and being attracted to or being attracted by... That's what I'm saying.
Older
that he's attracted to you is sort of flattering, and you like the attention, and younger guys aren't as exciting. Look, fine, let the guy be attracted to you. Don't let it go any further than that. Just get the good feeling, but don't consummate that. It's ridiculous. It's a bad thing. It'll make you feel worse in the long run.
So funny. I'm sitting here thinking that my advice is just turn 18.
That's all right.
Can I say so that you don't forget? Can we, are you going to do Steve-O's procedures, go through them one by one?
His procedures?
Yeah,
we good. All right, we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to go through Steve-O's procedures for his major executive physical.
$5,000 worth of
tomorrow morning.
My butt down my throat.
At 1-800-LOVE-191 if you want to call and wish Steve-O good luck. This is it. It's Love Line.
The home stretch.
LOVE-191. Nicole is hugging with us the whole time.
Steve-O
is still here because I promised to review with him his comprehensive physical for the morning at the UCLA School of Medicine. Here you go. Check in. You know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Audiogram. They put a little thing in your ear and those high-pitched things.
So
you hear
low
that?
Impact.
You hear that? Low impact. They're doing a body fat composition analysis. They're probably like pinch your arm, maybe submerge and
that's
stuff.
Mellow.
Pulmonary function test. You blow into a tube. They go.
They're going to be like, wow, you're pretty short of breath, Steve.
No, they'll see what the cigarettes and the pot's been doing. They have you basically...
Is it going to analyze my breath? Like yes. No.
It's going to be how your airways are conducted through.
Okay.
So it'd be like, they're like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, deep breath.
God, you're making me short of breath.
And so what you'll have in your medium size there with a 2575, the FEF 2575, you're going to be like 60-70% there.
I'm going to find out that smoking pot's really not that great, huh?
Well, the pot caused chronic bronchitis. You just do the cigarettes or whatever effing with those middle airways. So,
all right.
Okay, then you're going to have laboratory blood testing, urine testing, all that good stuff. That's just what you're used to. And make sure they do not pour alcohol back in if they take blood out. I know you'd be tempted to ask for that, but I don't know what you're doing. Okay, then you're going to have a CT coronary, which is an amazing study. Basically, you'll see your heart in 3D.
Oh, you know, I had that when I had the government test drug on me.
What?
You can see the blood go in red and come out blue.
No, this is different. That's an ultrasound. This is actually a picture, and you can move it around and look down the arteries and things. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Then you're going to have PET CT scan, whole body scan for any.
I had that when I got arrested for international drug smuggling.
This is a little different. This is going to be a PET scan.
They're looking for drug packages in my body.
Oh, that's a little different, but similar.
I went into the whole CAT scan tube.
Yeah. Nice. And then you're going to have a comprehensive physical, so you're going to sit there and doctor's going to talk to you for an hour.
Bang on my knee and all that.
Right. But mostly it's going to be talking. That's what we'll talk about, hypomania and x-ray exposure and drug use and all good stuff. Okay, then a carotid Doppler study, which is, see how the carotids are open. Bone densitometry, DEXA scan to see what your bone density is, if you've demineralized yourself from all the activity, shall we say.
Extracurricular.
Let's see, and then we're going to esophageal gastroduodenoscopy. That's good times. That's when the tube about the size of my thumb's going down your throat.
Oh, yeah, okay, so...
asleep,
and that's the one not fully asleep, probably, right? I heard I was going
to
be sedated.
Yeah, you'd be pretty much asleep for that. You'll sleep for a couple hours after that. Probably less. I don't see a treadmill test on here, which is probably they've replaced that now with the CT coronary.
You know, I ran 5 kilometers, 3 miles?
Oh, wait a minute.
With my dad. And my dad kicked my butt. He's like 63.
Nice. But I think this CT angiogram is probably replacing the...
So I got out of the 9-foot tube up my butt.
It looks like it, because you're too young for that. They start doing that around 40 or 50.
So. Okay, so now Nicole asked me a question. She said,
So I asked because when we first got here, Dr. Drew was telling Steve-O, tell the doctor...
specifically everything, be completely straight up. And I said, I said, aren't you ever scared of the things we've done to ourselves? Because I'm no, you know,
yeah,
I'm no angel.
You don't have to be included in that.
But I want to, because let's be perfectly honest here.
So to answer your question, if I'm worried about the consequences, the repercussions of my lifestyle further on down the road.
Yes.
It makes me think of this awesome email. Like, I got from Tommy Lee sent me this footage of going through an x-ray machine in the airport. And, I've also been through an x-ray machine in the airport, you know. My footage is better than his footage. So in any case,
in all senses?
I wrote to him. I said, Tommy, dude, you know, we're both dead, dude. You know, that's what they would have us believe, you know. Those of us who have been through x-ray machines in the airport, and I think the theory here is that, like, they put, like, full metal body armor on you when you get, like, x-rays at the dentist.
Right.
And that's only the exposure of, like, boom, like,
that's
like
right.
one thing. Whereas these machines, it's sustained, like,
yes.
frame by frame by frame by
right.
frame.
Yes.
So it's just constantly, it's just pouring,
yes.
like, onto you. And I was like, well, you know, and I said, Tommy, I can't believe that we're both in this, you know, radioactive boat together. And I said, like, it's just incredible because Tommy Lee is 10 years older than me, you know, and, like, in many ways, like, he's just been my hero growing up, you know, like I'm describing, you know.
No, I
understand. And so I said, Tommy, you know, you're 10 years older than me, and you know, you're still going, you know, you're still smoking.
It's not like
drinking,
you lack
and,
energy,
you know,
or anything.
And so I said, like, that's really been my attitude is that I'm somehow
going to be like him.
Well, no, I'm just like I gauged by him, so I feel entitled to part this.
If
way.
He
like,
can
I've
do it, why can't I? Got
I've got
it.
A 10-year buffer zone.
You use Tommy Lee, I use Keith Richards.
John,
and
what's
I,
up?
I'm kidding
and,
you
oh,
not.
He's
at,
behind,
any, at any point the Tommy Lee's still going, I've got 10 years to go.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
John, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Hunter?
Here we are.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Steve-O, you're awesome, dude. Just got to say that.
Hey, thanks, bro, man, dude. Check out my website, steveovideo.com.
Hey, John, what's happening?
Hey, there's this girl that I work with down at this restaurant that I work at, and
Where do you work?
It's a Chili's restaurant, one of the big corporate chains and all that.
Okay.
But I work with this girl down there, and I think she's kind of interested in hooking up with me, and, like, you know, like, I'm kind of down to do it, you know? But there's this rumor going around about her for a while that, like, she had crabs and stuff, and, like, I actually heard her admit it herself, like, kind of, like, joking, but I could tell she was serious. Like,
yeah, but I'm sure they used to have
I'm sure she treated them. I'm sure they're done. She would be going nuts if they had.
I mean, they're curable, though. It's like, they don't...
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude, come on. I mean, like, they say that shaving off all of your pubic hair doesn't help, but I don't understand how
there's
that
a cream you put on, it's one application, it's all.
I know,
so what they're saying is that you don't have to shave off your pubic, just put the...
No, you just get the cream.
Well, when you hear something like that...
Yeah, that's it.
When you hear something like that about somebody, their stock value goes down just a little bit.
Oh,
I know,
well,
yeah, but...
You know, just
I mean,
a little bit.
There's a lot worse things in the world.
Yeah. But so it's all fair game.
I think you're good to go, man.
Crab's a nice, quaint, old-fashioned STD.
I know.
That's old school. That's
you
nothing.
You don't hear about them. Like,
I know.
They really went out of style. I think it's because, like, in the 70s, for example.
Well, the 80s, they were big.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the decades where big, bushy pubic hair was in fashion.
I wonder if it was, you know what, I'm thinking, well,
Everyone's grooming these days.
Everyone I knew that lived by the beach seemed to have crabs.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? And there was a big, in the 80s, there was a big thing
yeah,
about the beach.
See,
the beach,
I didn't
the
get
beach.
Out here yet.
And I wonder if it was the same thing on the east. You kind of lived on the beach.
Yeah, I lived in Florida, but, you know.
No, and I grew
I've never even heard of it. Or
I grew up on Key Biscayne in Miami, and I never heard of it.
Never heard of crabs. Oh,
I mean, I know what crabs are, but not, you know, because
FYI,
you live by the beach.
Here at the mother station, K-Rock in the 80s, there was a massive outbreak where people were getting it.
But yeah, you know, I was just thinking that.
Oh,
like,
people getting it from furniture.
A lot more went on here in the 80s in Los Angeles than in
Europe. I must write a movie about this.
Oh, my God, like, it's incredible because you look at, like, crabs are the same as lice, right?
Yep.
And you know, when...
pubic lice.
And at school, and then all of a sudden, every kid has it.
Yeah.
And so it's almost not even like a social stigma.
Yeah, but
it doesn't pass
that way. It really has to be, there's some furniture and towel transmission, but mostly it's intimate contact.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in the hospital since the 90s, I got to admit. I used to see it in the drug addict population all the time. I haven't seen it in a while.
I did hear about the lice outbreak, and they used to put Listerine on kids' heads.
But I think the answer to
school.
This question, like, real simply, like, if you've got it, you're going to deal with it. And
he's going to be fine. Have a chili...
Yeah, you're gonna have a blast.
Okay, here we go. We're taking a little break here once again. That is Nicole Alvarez, joining us this evening for
I'm
a little
delirious.
Fun. Steve-O, thank you again. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Well, I'm going to have a new image from now when I think of Krabby Patties. I'm just saying. You guys, you're taking it to a new level. It was not a height. It was not a high level, ladies and gentlemen.
You see Krabby Couches.
You guys were too much tonight.
Glowworm, antworm.
Glowworm imagery.
Uncircumcised penises. Good times, good times.
Did we take any calls tonight? I'm not sure if we actually spoke
to anybody. I thought it was a good show, man. And
I've learned a lot, though. It's been educational in some way.
Yeah. And so my day is going to be pretty gnarly tomorrow.
Yeah. Steve-O, good luck, man. Really, really, really good luck. And you got to let us know what's going on after.
You know, it's the smoking that I've really... I really figured myself... And I still do. As someone who would smoke through a hole in my throat with fake lungs, I'm so helplessly addicted.
If you want to, they're nicotine replacement. You let me know if you want to get off the cigarettes. I will help you.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that they scare the crap out of me tomorrow.
Yeah, good.
And
I think they may.
Email me. Let me know how you go. What you feel like? What you need?
And then you let me know because
just clue me in whatever you send your dad, and I'll tell Nicole you're okay. Yeah. We'll see her tomorrow night.
I know. And if people see me, I'm, moping around and I'm just miserable, they'll know why.
Because he stopped smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. No, because he just endured that whole, call
it. Who knows what news is going to come from it.
That's going to be fine.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this is Love Line. We'll see you tomorrow night. This is Dr. Drew. Until then, good night and stay well.